quiet bunch. Didn't know you were all still here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. Great to see you all here. A very special welcome to anyone visiting with us today. If you live in the area and are looking for a church to call your very own home, this just might be the place. Just let me know. If you are traveling on this gorgeous day, we pray for safe travel and a joyful homecoming for you. As always, when we gather for worship, the sacrament of Holy Communion is offered as a central part, and all of you are invited to come and have your faith fed and refreshed through the gifts God gives us at his table today. And happy Mother's Day to those of you who carry that vaunted title. How many got breakfast in bed this morning? Sorry about that. Hope you have a wonderful day. On Wednesday, the women of the church, our Welka group, will meet for their final monthly meeting until fall. They're going to have a salad potluck luncheon and a short devotional and lots of good fellowship. And they'll be right out there in the narthex area. So come Wednesday at 12:30 and be a part of that group. That would be great. Please read the rest of the announcements there. But Sylvia wants to mention something about the Thrivent event that's coming up.
Good morning. I wanted to invite everybody who is going to retire soon or those who are retired to join me and Jason Susie for a workshop on the 30th. That's a Thursday. It'll be at the community college, and he said, don't make me sound like Jesus, but I know he has led many of Jesus' flock to greener pastures. So it is an RSVP event. Please see me for more details. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Sylvia. Please stand for the Thanksgiving for Baptism printed in your bulletin. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Just as God's work of creation never ends, so the gifts received in baptism are renewed every day. Let us give thanks together for the life given in baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery to freedom. At the river your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit, and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Our gathering hymn is number 532. The courage to enter the song.
sons and your daughters, call us anew to be salt for the earth. Give us to drink the wine of compassion. Give us to eat the bread that is you. Nourish us well and teach us to fashion lives that are holy and hearts that are true. Not in the dark a building's confining, not in some heaven light years away. Here in this place a new light is shining. Now is the kingdom and now is the day. Gather us in and hold us forever. Gather us in and make us your own. Gather us in, all peoples together. Fire of love in our flesh and our bone.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people.
Gracious and glorious God, you have chosen us as your own, and by the powerful name of Christ, you protect us from evil. By your Spirit, transform us and your beloved world, that we may find our joy in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I would invite the children to come forward for the children's message. Yeah. Have a seat. Good morning, everyone. Got a bunch of good-looking boys here today. How was your week? Good week? What you gonna do today when it's so nice? Go to the beach? Probably. All right. Gonna do something special for Mom today? It's Mother's Day, in case you didn't know. You already did. Good for you. Gonna do something special for Mom today. Good. Don't have to tell me. It can be a secret. All right? So, it's been kind of a slow week around the church this week. It's been a very slow week, and so when it's slow, I usually get up my Bible giant coloring and activity book and do some activities. So I've had a lot of fun with this. There are word searches in here. There's coloring pages. There's dot-to-dots. Lots of good stuff. But this week, what I really liked was a maze. Do you know what a maze is? What's a maze? That's right, you start in one spot and you have to find your way through, right? And sometimes you come to a dead end, and then what do you got to do? Because you can't cross any lines, right? So you got to go back and try to figure out a different way to go until you finally make it to the end, right? I brought one for you. You can do it. You don't have to do it now. In fact, I don't want you to do it now. But you can do it later. And if you give it to your parent, they can do it during the sermon. So I was thinking about a maze this week because sometimes life feels like a maze. You might not know that yet, but trust me, sometimes life feels like a maze, right?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Well, they're still awake. Sometimes you think you're going along just fine and you come to a dead end, right? And you got to figure out a different way to go, right? Sometimes life is like that. Jesus knows that life is sometimes like that. Pardon?
On the streets literally.
You could be on the streets literally. Yeah. And find a different way to go, right? Exactly. Jesus knows that life is sometimes like a maze, and Jesus wants to help us. So in our gospel reading for today, Jesus prays to God for us because he knows that sometimes we need lots of help, right? So sometimes when we do need help, when we come to a dead end, we can ask Jesus for help, right? Because we know that he loves us and he cares for us. And we can also ask, one of the things we do as brothers and sisters is we help each other. You already finished it? You are good. Next time I'll bring you a harder one. Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for your presence in our lives and for the promise that you will always, always, always be with us. Be with us especially in those times when things are difficult and we don't know which way to go. Guide us, direct us, and support us throughout our life. Bless these children today and always, and keep them in your care. Amen. Amen. Thanks, kids. You can go back to your places.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the audience. This is the seventh Sunday of Easter, and our first lesson today is Acts 1, 15 to 17 and 21 to 26. In the days between Jesus' ascension and Pentecost, Peter oversees a process where one of the members of the community of believers is chosen to be the 12th apostle in order to fill the vacancy created by Judas's treachery and death. Now hear the word. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, together the crowd numbered about 120 persons, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us, and he was allotted his share in this ministry. So what of the men who have accompanied us during all this time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us? One of those must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed two. Joseph called Barabbas, and who also was known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these of two that you have chosen to take their place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go his own place. And they cast the lots for them, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he added to the 11 apostles. Holy wisdom, holy word. The psalm will be found on page 5 of your bulletin, and we'll read it responsively. I'll start with the light print. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, or linger in the way of the sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful.
Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on God's teaching day and night.
They are like trees planted by the stream of water, bearing fruit due to due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. Therefore, the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteousness. Our second lesson today is from 1 John 5, 9-13. God has borne witness to the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in the Son of God believes in the witness of God and the promise of eternal life. Now hear the word. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have testimony in their hearts, and those who do not believe in God have made him a liar, not by believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is a testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son in his life, whoever does not have the Son of God does not have that life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have the eternal life. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus prayed, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Every year, at some point in the year, nearly every congregation in the country, including Atonement, convene their membership and they hold what they call a congregational meeting. At this meeting, usually a few reports are heard, a budget is presented and passed, and there is an election of some officers and council members who will be in charge of leading that church's ministry for the coming year. Well, I mention this because our first reading for today from Acts chapter 1 tells the story of the very first congregational meeting held in the early Christian church and its very first election. This meeting, as we are told, occurs about 40 days or so following Easter and the resurrection of Jesus. Earlier, the writer of Acts tells us that Jesus appeared to his followers from time to time over the course of these 40 days, and then he led them out to Mount Olivet, where he ascended into heaven. But before ascending, Jesus told them to go back to Jerusalem and to wait there for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them, after which they were to be his witnesses in the whole wide world. And so they did. They went back to Jerusalem to wait, but as they waited, it seemed good to them to have a congregational meeting. I think they must have been Lutherans, because we really do love a good meeting, don't we? Anyway, they all gathered together, all of them being 120 men, plus an unnamed number of women. Now that number, 120 men, is important to the story, because according to Jewish law, it took 120 men to establish a new synagogue. So having achieved that quorum, they are now constituted as a legitimate faith community. The agenda for their meeting was a very short one. One person needed to be elected to replace Judas Iscariot, the disciple who had turned traitor, so that the number of apostles would again reach the number of 12. Now, the number 12 was also important to them because that tiny little church saw themselves as the new Israel, the new chosen people of God. And as the old Israel had 12 tribes led by the 12 sons of Jacob, so too the new Israel needed 12 to lead it in its mission to the world. So Peter, speaking to the assembly, spelled out the criteria for this new position. It would be necessary, he said, that the new apostle would be, quote, one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection. So they pondered that for a while, and then two men were brought forward who fulfilled that criteria. One who was the obvious favorite, and then Matthias. Why do I say that? Well, look, Joseph is listed first, and then he is elaborated on. He was also called Barsabbas, which means son of the Sabbath, and also Justice, the just one, the upright one. Put all that together and it comes out something like Holy Joe, the obvious candidate, the one favored by everyone in attendance. And then there was poor Matthias, the other guy. Well, following that nomination process, the church wisely paused to pray over the election. Lord, you know everyone's heart. You know which one you have chosen for this position of apostleship. So now, Lord, show us which one it will be. And then they cast lots. And surprisingly, the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. And then he's never mentioned again. He completely disappears from the biblical story. But then so does Holy Joe. Does that mean that they never did anything for the kingdom of God? Of course not. For many of the apostles aren't named in the ongoing story. Matthew is never mentioned, even though his name appears on a gospel. Neither is Bartholomew, or James, son of Alphaeus, or Simon the Zealot, or many of the others. And maybe I think that's significant. For in today's gospel reading, our Lord prayed that they might be one, not ones. They were not to be individuals on their own little trips, following their own little agendas, but they were to be one, Jesus said, even as he and the Father were one. No sooner had Jesus prayed those words than he went on to demonstrate how sincerely he meant them. Within 24 hours of his prayer, he would be crucified, dead, and buried, obliterated in self-giving to the Father's will. In last week's gospel, we heard Jesus say, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And that is exactly what he did. But looking at his disciples, and I think across time to you and to me, Jesus said, "Now I send you." Father, he prayed, "As you sent me into the world to do your works of love and mercy, so now I have sent them to continue the work that I begun." That is literally what the word apostle means, you know. It means one who is sent. Sent to be spent, as Jesus himself was. Spent in love for others. Spent for the sake of the world. Now I know that it is a frightening thing to be an apostle. It's a frightening thing to be one who is sent to be spent. But Jesus knows it too. And that's exactly why he prays for us. And that's exactly why he sent the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to empower us in our lives of mission and service. But that's next week's sermon on Pentecost Sunday. But Jesus knows that while we are in this world will make every effort to conform us to its values and to its agenda. Daily, we all face pressures that seek to shape us in ways that are contrary to the will and the ways of our God. For this world is captive to a spirit that is alien to God's spirit. It is animated by a sense of scarcity instead of abundance, of fear instead of courage and hope, of selfishness instead of sacrificial love. Jesus knows that this world is not a particularly safe place for those who seek to follow him. And so he prays that God will support his followers in the midst of their challenges and that they will be one, one in spirit, one in purpose, one in mission. "I have given them your word," he prays, "and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world but to you, just as I belong to you. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from all evil. Protect them in your name, Father, that they may be one as we are one." Yes, it is a difficult path that we walk as we seek to be God's people, God's children, and God's servants in this world. But we can be comforted in the fact that we do not walk it alone. Jesus walks with us, praying for us every step of the way, praying that we would be people of love and mercy in our daily walk so that everyone we meet would see the face of Christ in us. Jesus prays that we will have the strength to endure, the faith to persevere, and the hope that we need to carry us through to the end of our days. Jesus prays for us. And because he does, the darkness of this world will never overcome the light of the gospel that shines in your life and mine. That light will shine brightly in us and through us into this community and this world. And by that light, all people will come to know the love, the mercy, and the grace of our God. I know this, and I trust this, because God has promised it. And God always, always keeps his promises. Amen. Please stand as we sing "Children of the Heavenly Father," number 781.
Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in His bosom gather, nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge there was given. His own love tend and nourish in His holy courts they flourish. From all evil things He spares them, in His mighty arms He bears them. Neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord His children sever. Unto them His grace He showeth, and their sorrows all He knoweth. Though He giveth or He taketh, God His children never forsaketh. His glory purpose solely to preserve
I always know my sermons are right on target when I get an amen from the seagulls up there. Please join me now in the affirmation of faith that you'll find printed on page 7 in your bulletin. We belong to God, eternal and infinite, creator of all things and all that is to come. We follow Christ, who comes to us from God and reveals God to us. He heals people and transforms lives and calls us to join in His ministry. He was crucified, died, and was raised again by God and reigns over all creation. And He bids us to die and rise with Him in the service of the healing of the world. We are moved by the Holy Spirit, together with the communion of saints, as members of the body of Christ, God's holy universal church. We are confident in the forgiveness of sin, the power of resurrection, and the reality of eternal life. In all things, it is our desire to follow Christ by the grace of the Holy Spirit for God's glory. Amen.